Thank you, worship team, for that really rich time of worship. Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you today. And as we're in our second week of missions emphasis, I was thinking this morning about the why we do this. And we just sang all the reasons why we do this. Let there be light in dark places. Pour me out. Make me an instrument of your peace. Because division is the voice of fear. And Lord, have your way. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. In the book of Corinthians, it says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what our lives are intended to be about if you're a follower of Christ. And therefore, that's what Global Missions is about. It's just being part of God reconciling the world to himself, reconciling his church, and making us one. And we have a really wonderful reconciler with us this morning. Her name is Elise Patey, and she's one of our missionaries in Cambodia. Would you welcome her to the stage? Elise is a person that I've gotten to spend some time with while she's been home on this furlough. I think this is like our third gig together or something. Yes. But I find her just to be this delightful, warm person, the kind of person that you're drawn to, that you think, I could just sit and have a cup of tea by a fireplace and we could probably talk about meaningful things for hours. She's a wonderful young woman. I know you're going to appreciate the opportunity to hear from her today, and I want you to know that the team that we have in Cambodia, the Swords, the Hernandezes, Elise, another young couple called the Radcliffes, they are a group of wonderful people with a great deal of integrity, a great deal of intellect, a great deal of passion. And so we are represented well in Cambodia, and Elise is part of that team. Elise was at Granada Heights Friends Church, one of our friends' churches in La Mirada, and I grew up here in California. So why don't you tell people who don't know, how did a beautiful Southern California girl end up in Cambodia?
Yeah, I would love to. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here, and would love to share some stories with you this morning. I was a biola student, and during my time in college, I remember feeling excited about missions, but I did not see myself as a missionary. So we had a missions conference every year at Biola, and I loved hearing the stories from missionaries. I loved their passion. I loved hearing what God was doing around the world. But I thought, well, missionaries, female missionaries, they wear these really long skirts and shirts with puffy collars. I don't dress like that. I don't want to dress like that. That's not me. And missionaries, they're all evangelists, and I'm not sure if I resonate with that. That's not me. And so I just didn't resonate with this picture of what a missionary looked like, how they talked, what they did. But I was excited about missions, and I was pretty sure I wanted to go into social work. But it was sort of out of the blue, a friend handed me a post-it note and with a missions website on it, said, you should check this out. There might be some opportunities that would be interesting to you on this site. So I looked at it, and there was an opportunity on the site that really grabbed my heart. It was working with women in Cambodia who are in prostitution, and this opportunity was a two-year opportunity. And I thought, whoa, my heart feels tugged. I don't know what it is. And geography is not my forte. I did not know where Cambodia was on a map. And I didn't know much about the problem of sex trafficking in Southeast Asia. And so I Googled, where is Cambodia? And I started reading on Wikipedia, reading about the history, the culture, and I started reading about the problem of sex trafficking in Southeast Asia, and started learning the more that I learned, the more that I felt that tug. And it was not at all, you know, a voice from God hearing him say, Elise, I'm calling you to be a missionary to do this, this, and this. It was not that at all. It was, wow, I feel passionate about this, and I don't know what it is. I don't know much about these people, this place, this problem, but okay, I'm going to keep saying yes until God closed the door. And I really didn't know that I was called to Cambodia until I showed up in Cambodia. And I started getting to know the people. And, you know, within my first couple months there, meeting Cambodian people, starting to learn the Cambodian language, eating the food, just encountering the culture with my five senses and my heart, I thought, wow, I love it here. God has given me a heart for these people, starting to see glimpses of his heart. And this picture is sometime during my first month in Cambodia. Me and my teammates, and the woman in the middle is one of my first Cambodian friends. Her name is Terin. She works in the market. And just, I felt like it was so easy to connect with her and so easy to connect with many of the people that I met. And that's what really began this calling that I didn't know I was called until I showed up there. And then many more stories to get me to where I am today. But that was the beginning of how God called me to Cambodia.
That's a very profound word. I didn't know I was called until I showed up. I wonder what's lingering in our hearts, in each of us in this room, that maybe we won't know exactly what God has next until we show up to something that he's stirring in our hearts. I didn't know I was called till I showed up. That's amazing. As Elise and I have spent some time together, we realized that we share the love of an author. And we were talking about her work. And this author says every story is divided into three acts. You have act one, where the problem or the adventure is sort of defined. You have act two, where you're struggling, you're on the journey, you're working things out. And then you have Act 3, which is all about sort of the redemption and the closure of the initial problem or initial adventure you were heading on. And as we were talking about that, Elise was saying, I really wish I could just tell you I was in Act 3, but I'm in Act 2, because yes, that's where you are in the process. So tell us where you are in your story, what Act 2 looks like.
Yeah, so for the past 2 years, I've been focusing mostly on language learning and cultural learning. And I thought, well, if God is calling me to Cambodia to be a missionary, I'm going to show up and be able to do all those things right away. Well, no, you have to learn the language and the culture. And there's a process, there's a struggle to get to a place where I'm an effective communicator, you know, just with people, but also an effective communicator of the gospel. So there's a struggle in that. So I'm smack dab in the middle of that, figuring that out. What does it look like not only to speak to people, to communicate with people in everyday life, but even more so to communicate the gospel? And a passage that has really encouraged me in this process is from 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul is talking about becoming all things to all people. And we, for many of us who are familiar with Paul, we know that he was very effective in cross-cultural ministry. So as he talks about becoming all things to all people, we know he did that well, and we know he was an effective communicator of the gospel. So I'll read this passage for us to understand what his heart was behind becoming all things to all people. So 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So Paul was effective in crossing into these different cultures, becoming like people in order to communicate the gospel in ways that were relevant to them. And he says he does this so that by all possible means they might be saved, they might encounter Jesus and know who Jesus is. And he does this for the sake of the gospel. So I just look at Paul and I think, but how did he do that? Unfortunately, the passage doesn't tell us how.
And so what did God teach you about how, what it means to be all things to all people? That's a pretty big concept.
Yeah, and something I'm definitely still learning about as I continue to set down roots in Cambodia. A really helpful acronym that I learned in a pre-field training I went to 2 years ago is called the PTSD acronym. So this is a guideline for us, even here in Southern California, as we talk about becoming all things to all people. I'm not just talking about becoming all things to Cambodians in Cambodia. Mm. You know, there are people that we encounter here in Southern California who are different from us, mm-hmm. whether it's culturally or different interests, different political views, different religious backgrounds. This is a guideline for each and every one of us, yeah. whether we're living abroad or we're here in Southern California. So the PTSD acronym is a guideline for us. How do we go about becoming all things to all people? It has nothing to do with post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a mnemonic device to remember these letters. So if you switch PTSD around, it's DSTP, and it stands for do as they do, see as they see, think as they think, and feel as they feel. Feel with the PH just so the acronym works. So as we do as they do, you know, someone who's different from us, as we engage in what's important to them, whether it's a topic of conversation or it's an activity that they like to do or whatever it may be, our perspective begins to change. So I want to, you know, and as our perspective begins to change, our thinking begins to change. Mm-hmm. Whoa, now that I'm seeing that differently, it makes me think differently. Mm-hmm. And that's going to affect how we feel. And that's where the deeper conversations and connections come. And that's where the bridge is, building a bridge to share the gospel with people who are different from us. And so I want to share a couple stories of what that's been like, starting with Do As They Do in Cambodia, my life in Cambodia. So I had the opportunity to live with three different Cambodian host families over the past 2 years, and that was a really rich experience for me. So this is one of those families I got to live with out in a village called Chothil. And I love the experience of living with them. That's Uncle Sok and Auntie Puan and their daughter Soksan. So I call them aunt and uncle. And so one of my favorite things about living with this host family was sharing meals with them. So we're out in the village, and you'll see a picture of their house just to give you an idea of what life looked like there. So out in the village, and this family has a mango farm, so we'd eat fresh mangoes as part of almost every meal, which I loved, and I happened to live there during mango season, which was a real treat. Mm-hmm. And so we had shared meals. We ate lunch and dinner together. So we always had fried fish, white rice, and fresh mangoes from their farm, and I really enjoyed that. So every day, Uncle Sok would go out with his fish net, and he would catch fish for our lunch and for our dinner. And every once in a while, we had a real treat. Uncle Sok would catch something special in his net aside from fish. He would catch a water snake. So of course, we're not just going to throw the snake out. We're going to fry it up and eat it. So that's a fried water snake. And I thought, I am terrified of snakes. I do not want to be anywhere near that thing, whether it's dead or alive. But they said, you got to try it. Okay, I'll try it. Trying the meat. And they said, well, actually, it's a female snake, and it has some eggs. Do you want to try the snake eggs? But, okay, that's really, really out of my comfort zone. I don't want to eat snake eggs. But I tried it, and you know what? I really liked it. I enjoy snake eggs. So after that, every day I would ask Uncle Sok, did you catch any snakes today? I'm really, you know, I want to eat more snake eggs. So I was excited after that, and it began to change my perspective of what's normal. To the American palate, eating snake isn't very normal, especially eating snake eggs. That's not normal. So as I did, as my Cambodian host family did, I began to see things differently. And this may sound unspiritual, and what does this have to do with the gospel and serving as a missionary in Cambodia? I think it has everything to do with the gospel, because that's starting on a level, engaging with people in what's interesting, what's important to them. So for Cambodians, food is very important. Talking about it, eating the foods, enjoying that with them. So that was quite the experience. Another experience I had with food was eating honeycomb. So honeycomb in Cambodia is somewhat of a delicacy because it's expensive because they have to go out into the forest and find it. So it's the sweetest honey I've ever tasted. I loved it. And the first time I ate it, I was sort of watching my host family. Okay, here's the honeycomb. There's the part with the honey. There's another part. How do they eat it? So that's a picture of the honeycomb. So I thought, okay, they're going to squeeze the honey out into a bowl, and then what do we do? And they said, okay, now to eat it, what you're going to do is you're going to take a piece of the baby bees from the honeycomb and dip it in the honey. So I thought, baby bees, what? Oh, that's larva. I don't want to eat larva. My goodness. I just want to eat the honey. So I tried some other dry pieces with all the baby bees, and they said, no, 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 try the part with the baby bees. And baby bees, that sounds so cute and nice, right? But we have the word larva. Our association is like, that's gross, we don't eat that, that's disgusting. But to Cambodians, that's normal. And so I ate it and I tried it. Oh my gosh, I liked it. The texture was something to get over, but I really liked it. And you dip it in honey, it's amazing. And so that became normal to me. And as I did, as my host family did, I began to see it differently. Oh, this isn't gross, it's just baby bees. It's good. And so it began to change my perspective. And that's just, I think food has been a really important topic for me, to begin that process of do as they do so that I can see as Cambodians see and build deeper relationships with people that way.
Yeah. So in order for us to really relate to Elise, when you exit the building today, we have snacks for you.
I wish.
But what you're saying is really important, because after the genocide, you know, a lot of people didn't have food. So food has this sort of elevated place in the culture. And so it is a really important issue.
Yes, definitely. Food is important.
And I think that acronym is a really good one for us to be able to take with us, to think about as we're trying to reach just even across the driveway to our neighbor who has a totally different worldview than we do, or comes from a totally different cultural background. What does it look like for me to engage in the things that are important to them? Because sometimes we get that backward. We come to them with this agenda, which is pure-hearted, right? Because we want to share the thing that we feel like is so important that they need. Yeah. But when we don't engage with what's important to them, like for you, it started with food, then we don't earn the right to get to the deeper things. Mm-hmm. If I understand their context, God is going to use that to eventually help me get to those deeper conversations.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. That's a really, really great tool. Mm-hmm. Thanks for helping us think about that. And it would be important for us to also consider, like, what's our interpretation of, you know, baby bees. You know, what sacrifice might God be asking us to make in order to engage with that person on your campus who's so different than you, or your neighbor who's from a totally different background? You know, what's the corollary for us? What's the sacrifice that we're willing to make in order to do as they do, to engage? Mm-hmm. That's a great, great lesson. So you came as a learner, learned the language, started to engage with their culture so you could really understand who they are. What else? What other things did God teach you about being all things to all people?
I would say, in addition to entering in as a learner and you know, learning to eat baby bees and all the other lessons that came with that, learning to enjoy those things and my perspective changing, I've also, in addition to figuring out ways to build those relationships, I've realized how important it is in my role as a witness of Christ in Cambodia to encourage Cambodian believers. So the Cambodian church is young. About 40 years ago, like Heidi mentioned, there was a genocide. And a lot of the older generation, many people from the older generations were killed during that time. So today, around 50% of the population of Cambodia is under the age of 30. So we believe it's going to be the young people that are going to carry the church. It's going to be, you know, there are many older people who are leaders in the church, but we really want to put more focus on youth and investing in young people. And so I actually have the opportunity to work with some youth, and I've been excited to see some of them coming to faith and growing in their faith. And as missionaries serving in Cambodia, we really believe that it's not going to be us that's going to, you know, be the kickstarters of a movement of the Holy Spirit in Cambodia. It's going to be the Cambodian church. So how can we empower the church? How can we empower believers? And so that's really expanded my role of what it means to be a missionary there, learning, starting to see glimpses of that.
Such an awesome perspective that God has a role for you to play, He has a role for us to play, but that He's also raising up the Cambodian church. And part of what we want to do is really be investing and supporting of them.
Yeah.
That's great. So part of how you came to work with youth came out of a move that you made. You moved about a year and a half into your 2 years.
Yes. So I moved to the northeast province, Stung Trang. And this is a picture of the town that I live in. And I live there with my teammates, Scott and Andreas Ward, and their boys. And I love this town. As you can see, it's really beautiful right along the Mekong and Sekong rivers. And it's a wonderful place to be. The northeast region of Cambodia, there's momentum in the church growing. There are small churches, there are pockets of believers, but we really felt like, wow, there's some great opportunities for us to go and empower those believers and continuing to reach out to those pockets of places of people who have yet to hear about Jesus. So we're excited to be there, and we're there still encouraging friends' churches, existing friends' churches, but also simultaneously partnering with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, who's been working in Stung Treng province for over 20 years. So we're excited just about the new beginnings that we have there. So I'd love to share two stories from just the past couple months of my time living in Stung Treng province. For my role specifically, I've been working with youth. So I've been working at the YWAM Youth Center, and I have the opportunity to teach English as part of my role. And so this is a picture of my English class. I love these students. They're mostly high schoolers with a couple university students
and
mixed in there.
And most of those are unchurched, correct?
Yes, unchurched. There are a couple believers in my class, but most of them are just local high school students, come to the youth center just to learn English. Mm-hmm. They don't know much about Jesus, so there are a lot of opportunities to share. And one of my students, he's one of my favorite students, and I'd love to just share a short story about him. His name is Vandi, and he's 17, and he's in the 11th grade. And about a week after I started teaching his English class, so he didn't know me very well, but after a week, I started this class, and then I had to tell my students, I'm taking a week off to go to the States. I didn't tell them the whole reason, but the reason I was taking a trip to the States was my grandfather had passed away. And I was going back for his memorial service. It was a significant time in my life. And Vandi knew I was taking this trip, and he's a part of the youth group, so he's a believer, he's part of the local church. And he didn't know me very well. He approached me after church. He said, "Teacher, when are you going to America?" I said, "I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon." And he said, "Can I pray for you?" I thought, wow, this young man has the courage to come ask me. He doesn't know me very well. I'm his teacher. I would think it probably took him some courage to ask me to pray. And I was just so encouraged by that. He sought me out after church just to ask me. And he prayed this. He put his hand on my shoulder. He prayed this powerful, heartfelt prayer. And I was so encouraged to see his boldness and his faith. And I thought, I want to see more young people like Vandi taking steps of boldness to pray for people, to bless people within the church, to encourage people, to be a voice of truth. I'm encouraged to see his faith. I want to see more of that. And another really exciting story that happened around the same time was we had a youth camp with YWAM. We put on a youth camp. And this is some pictures of the students who came. We had about 80 students come from all over the province. Many were non-believers, many were young believers. And then we had our youth group who are sort of the more mature believers helping us to lead it. And we had three topics we wanted to teach during the youth camp. So we taught about friendship, decision-making, and relationships. Relationships as in dating relationships. So the students, they were really excited. That was really the topic they were interested in.
Teenagers are teenagers in Cambodia too.
Yeah, that was really what they were interested in. And so we thought, well, if we're going to talk about dating, it probably would be a good thing to split the girls and the guys up to have some debriefing time, some small group time for them to just talk about what they're learning. And so we thought, well, what can we do during that time? Oh, let's have one of the young believers, share a testimony in our girl time and share something about related to dating and something that God has done in their lives through some kind of dating experience. And so I went up to a young woman named Kanya. So she's the person in the front of the room in this picture sharing her testimony. I asked her, "Kanya, would you be willing to share a testimony, something about how God has worked in your life through a relationship?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't really like talking in front of people. That makes me really nervous." And she seemed really freaked out and scared of that. But she said, "Okay, but I'll do it." I didn't give her much time to prepare, and she was still willing to do it. And so she got up in front of all these girls, maybe 30 or 40 girls, as you can see in the picture. And the vibe in the room, just every single girl in that room, her eyes were locked on to Kanya as Kanya shared her testimony. They were soaking up every word. And Kanya was speaking from her heart, talking about what she learned about God, what God taught her about relationships, ways that it had impacted and grown her family, what God had done in her life in this season. And I was so proud. I was so encouraged by that. And I went up to Kenya after, and I said, "You did so great. How did that feel?" "Oh, Elise, I was so scared, but it was so exciting. I'm so glad that I did that." And so it was a faith builder for her, and it was a encouragement to these young women. I thought, if I was up there saying those same exact things, I don't think it would have the same impact. Mm-hmm. I think having a young Cambodian share her heart with other young Cambodians, that's impactful. I want to see more of that. Mm-hmm. I want to see more and more young Cambodians take steps of boldness to share their faith, take steps of boldness to be an encouragement to other believers. So I'm just encouraged by Vandi and Kenya, and would love, just these are flickerings of Act 3, mm-hmm. of where God is really moving, and I'm just so encouraged to see these young people and would love to see more of that mm-hmm. happening in Cambodia.
I love that God has placed you working with youth. I think that's awesome and a great use of your gifts and raising up young Cambodian leaders, because we're trying to do that here. Mm-hmm. That's super important to the life of our church and to what God is doing here in the States, that we need to empower our young people. So that's just mm-hmm. another way we're unified mm-hmm. in mission. So that's great. Mm-hmm. Hey, at least tell us, you've told us about becoming all things to all people, being a learner, having your mind expanded about what it means to be a missionary. All of those are kind of about your role. I wanna know about Elise personally. Like, what have these 2 years been like for you personally?
Yeah, that's hard to answer. There's so much I could say. It's been incredibly rich, and I think it's been incredibly rich mostly because it's been hard. It's hard to adjust to a foreign culture. It's taxing physically and emotionally in ways that my life wasn't here. In Cambodia, I really take a lot of naps. I need that there. Here, I'm good to go all day. But there are different stressors to adjust mm-hmm. to, and that's been difficult, really difficult to adjust to. And socially, it's been a really sweet process of getting to know my teammates, making friends there, setting down roots. But it's a grieving process to pull up roots mm-hmm. here. And now to have long-distance relationships with so many people I love, my family, friends, church family. Mm-hmm. So that's tough, but it's made me thankful in the process of finding my new normal, in the process of building new community, to bond with Cambodians, mm-hmm. to bond with my teammates, and especially my opportunities to live with host families. That was a really sweet, just a sweet season for me living with them. And I got to know many of the friends' church leaders in that time, visiting the different friends' churches, being a part of those churches as I lived with different families. And so I lived with two different families who are actually friends' leaders. And I learned a lot from them, watching them, being a part of their households and being in community with these people. So this is a picture of most of our friends' leaders in Cambodia from the friends' churches. Mm-hmm. And I think in interacting with them and watching them being a part of those churches, that's brought me new realizations about how to share the gospel with Cambodians. Mm.
Yeah. And one of those realizations came out of a conversation you had with an older man who is a Buddhist, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so that was a really significant conversation that still stirs my heart. So this was at the time I was living with a woman named Sinat and her daughter. And Sinat is one of the Friends Church leaders in Cambodia. She's around my mom's age, so she's kind of one of my Cambodian mamas. And I love Sinat and enjoyed living with her. And I remember one day, because I was focusing on language learning at the time, one day I was walking down her street and I started talking to an older Cambodian man who's maybe in his 70s, and he started asking me, "What brings you to Cambodia?" And I thought, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to share about Jesus. And I had so much hope for that conversation that it would lead to something meaningful, to share about who Jesus is and something that would, just impact this man's life. But it didn't happen. And I just walked away from that conversation feeling disappointed. Mm. And I thought, man, okay, I'm going to see not, she's a Cambodian woman. She's has this gift of evangelism. I'm going to ask her for some advice. And so I went to Sina. I said, "When you share the gospel with your fellow Cambodians, where do you start? What do you say? How do you build the bridge to connect with them?" And she gave me some tips and she answered the question, but it was the second part of her response that really hit my heart. because I think she could see through what I was really asking and why I was really asking. She could see that actually what I was really asking was, as a white American Christian, how on earth can I communicate the gospel to a Cambodian Buddhist man who is so different from me? How on earth can that happen? That's what I was really after. So she sensed that, and she said, so the second part of her response, she said, Elise, there's something you need to know and remember. I know that you're trying to learn the language and trying to understand the culture. That's great. Continue doing that. But you need to remember that, yes, while our cultures are incredibly different, cut us open, we are flesh and blood the same. Our need for Jesus is exactly the same, and God is the God of all people, and the message that we have to share with people is exactly that, that God is the God of all people, and we are the same, and our need for Jesus is the same. And that really hit my heart, and I continue to think about that and process that, and I'm still trying to fully grasp that deep truth. Because as we talk about 1 Corinthians 9 becoming all things to all people, and we talk about bridging the gap between us and people who are different from us, if we forget that underneath culture, underneath our differences, we are the same, and our need for Jesus is the same, our need for love, our need for belonging is exactly the same, that gap between us is always going to seem like we're too different. My gospel, what I believe, is not going to be relevant to them. We're too different. But what Sinat and what I experienced in that conversation was realizing, yes, this process is different, this process is valuable to bridge the gap between our differences, but I have to remember that we are more similar than we are different. Mm. Our need for Jesus is exactly the same. And while it's important to navigate the differences and connect, the goal of that is to connect so that we can stand eye to eye and say, actually, we are the same. Our need for Jesus is the same. And God's love transcends our differences. Our need for the gospel transcends our differences, and we are more similar than we are different. Mm.
That's a powerful word also for us to walk away with, that we are more similar than we are different, and God's love transcends our differences. Mm-hmm. That focusing on the differences, that's about fear, and perfect love casts out all fear. Mm-hmm. So you've given us some wonderful, wonderful golden nuggets today. I didn't know it was my calling until I showed up. I came as a learner and started finding out what was important to them. And underneath it all, remembering that we are more the same than we are different. And we all need the love of Christ in our lives. So, Elise, on behalf of this congregation, I want to say thank you. Thank you for saying to Jesus, pour me out, and for being willing to show up and go to Cambodia and eat baby bees, and for really leading us in understanding what it's like to even bridge the differences in our own culture here, because divisions are huge these days. Mm-hmm. And you've been a wonderful example, and you represent us well, and so we are super grateful for that. So
thank you.
Could we pray for Elise right now? Would you be willing, in an act of solidarity, maybe just to reach your hand out toward her, but certainly unite your hearts together as we lift her up? So Lord Jesus, we are so very thankful that you are the God of all people, and that you desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of your truth. And that you don't see our differences. You see our sameness, that we are created in the image of God, and that we all need you. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for Elise, for her willingness to surrender to you, for her willingness to follow that tug on her heart, for her willingness to show up so that you could do something incredible in her life that impacts us and is impacting Cambodia. And Lord, we pray that in those times of loneliness, in that grief that she has to keep processing of leaving her life here and developing a new life there, that your presence would be so, so close to her, Lord, that as she pours herself out, you would fill her back up. Lord, would you remind us to pray for her? Would you help us to give generously, Lord, that in those ways that we can't even quantify, that you turn that into spiritual food for her soul, Lord. And so fill her up as she pours herself out. Bless the work of her hands that she's doing there, God. And may she know how deeply appreciated and loved she is, Lord. Thanks for the blessing of letting us partner with you to reconcile the world to yourself. And help us to remember the things we've learned this morning as we go and interact with the world and the influences that you've given us to have even here. So we love you, and we praise you for being faithful and for letting us be a part of Elise's life and the work you're doing through her. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thank you. And on behalf of my team, I would just like to say thank you so much for your prayer support, your financial support, your heart investment in what God is doing in Cambodia. You are very much a part of God moving in Cambodia and the stories that I shared this morning. And my team, when we get together, we talk often about how well taken care of we are by our churches, how loved we are, how spoiled we are when we come for furlough, and everyone tries to fatten us up and feed us so well. I'm so thankful. And I just want to say thank you and that your support means a lot to me personally and a lot to our team. So thank you.
Well, we are grateful for you all, too.
Thank you.
Do one more time. Thank you. Right on. So, do you know, we're actually recruiting a team to go to Cambodia this spring to help Fede Hernandez, one of our team members over there, minister to people through soccer. And so you can find information about that on our webpage, or you can come talk to me about that, but we'd love for you to consider and think about that, okay? So, isn't it cool to think that by being generous here, we help people like Elise over there, that the church in other parts of the world is being encouraged and empowered. It's growing. It's starting in places like Cambodia, in places like Ireland. I see Kathy Perry's here today. She's one of our missionaries as well. And in so many places, we have more than 20 families, 20 missionaries serving all over the world in some very, very exciting places. And through our generosity, they get to commit themselves and devote themselves to their work. And so that's why we do this Faith Promise Giving deal every year. And the way it works is this. We simply ask you, as Greg said last week, to just pray and consider, God, in addition to my regular giving, how can I be generous to serve the cause of world missions? And we ask people to pray about that and to make a commitment to that, to trust God to provide for your needs as well as for the work of God around the world. And so we know you've been thinking, so many of you, about this week and praying about this. If you weren't here last week and you want to begin to think and pray about that now, that's great too. But what we love to have people do is actually make a commitment to tell us what you think God is going to have you do this year. And you can write that down on this card. You can tear it off and you can give it to us. And the reason that that is important for us is because that's how we plan. That's how we make a budget for the missions ministry we're going to be able to support in this next year. And so if in your generosity you'd be faithful to let us know. You don't have to give us your name if you don't want, but just let us know so that we can plan. And so I want to ask you to think about that as we close today. And if God has already spoken to you, you have an idea of how he wants you to step out in faith, I want you to go ahead and fill that card out today. If you feel like you need a little bit more time, you want to wrestle with that, you can take this card home. You can bring it back to us. You can send it to us this week. Or you can bring it with you next week. We're going to have a celebration Saturday night, our missions dessert. It's going to be an excellent time, very helpful, very interactive. It's going to get you fired up for the cause just a little bit more, and you'll get some dessert, okay? And so we want to encourage you to be thinking about that. You can go on our website, go to Guest Central, tell them that you're coming. We'll be ready for you. And then the other thing I want you to remind you about is for our high school students, our spring break trip this year. It's a 1-week trip to L.A., that we're very excited about. So it's time to go and think about registering for that. It's a very practical way that you can be involved in the work of God in some really wonderful places. We're going to spend the whole week in downtown Los Angeles. So that's going to be cool. And then the last thing, I hope you all maybe got an email from me this week. And it was about some important things happening in our church life in terms of transitions and things that are changing and encouraging things even that we see God doing. So if you didn't get that email, I really want you to get a copy of it. So come and talk to me or head out to the tent there, the Guest Central tent. Make sure we have your email address. We'd love to make sure that you're just up to date on everything that's happening. And we want to pray for you. Okay? So let's pray together, shall we?